Near where we live is a church that attracted many who had left our fellowship. This church broadcasts all over the U.S. and was teaching pretty much what we had taught about prophecy. It seemed to be the best of both worlds for those who were attracted to the prophecy side of the teaching, but allowed for the casting off of what they felt was not needed for salvation, which was the keeping of the law. One of the things that they taught that was interesting was that angels before the flood were attracted to mortal women and created a race of giants by having children with them. They got this from two verses in Genesis 6. If you'll turn to Genesis 6, 1, we'll read 1 through 8. Genesis 6, 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had even made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do we explain these verses in Genesis 6 about angels reproducing with women? I found that they were not alone in this belief. This is from crosswalk.com. According to Hebrew doctrine, like the book of Enoch, the Nephilim were a breed of giants and superhumans who performed deeds of exceptional evil. Their large size and power probably came from the merger of fallen angelic DNA and human eugenics. They are actually only two explicit references to the Nephilim in the Bible text, verses in Genesis 6:4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old men, men of renown. The second, in Numbers 13:33, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We've seen like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Although the great flood in Genesis killed the Nephilim of the time, it is theorized that the demons continued their breeding with humans sometime after the flood as well. After the Hebrews scouted the land of Canaan, they told Moses, We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim, which seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we looked the same to them. This scripture, quote, does not mention the Nephilim were actually there, only that the scouts believed that they had seen the Nephilim. It is possible that they simply observed abnormally large people in Canaan, and in fear, though, thought them to be the Nephilim. Either way, these giants were defeated by the Israelites through the conquering of Canaan, Joshua 11:21-22. According to Scripture, God has stopped fallen angels from mating with humans by banishing all those who perform such an act to darkness. June 1:6 informs us, The angels who did not keep their portions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains of judgment in the great day. It is presumed that fallen angels who bred with human females are the ones who are bound with everlasting chains, making the return of Nephilim, thankfully, unlikely. And that was from crosswalk.com. From Genesis 1, 24 through 26, we read about everything reproducing after its own kind. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So could offspring come from two things that were not of the same kind? Halley's Bible Handbook gives us a different explanation. Genesis 4 gives a story of Cain and Abel and follows with the genealogical descent from Cain. Genesis 5 is called the Book of the Genealogy of Adam. In verse 1, it starts with God's creation of Adam and how Adam's line continued through Seth, as with the angels. Adam was a son of God, a creation. And it says, compare Luke 3:38. Though even more so, since Adam was made in God's image, Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 5:1-3, of this family line through Seth it is stated, then man began to call on the name of the Lord, which could also be rendered, called after the name of the Lord. Then in the next chapter, Genesis 6, we see the sons of God, men of Seth, godly line, in this explanation, were intermarrying with the daughters of men, women of Cain's ungodly line. And that was from Halley's Bible Handbook. This led to only Noah retaining the line of Seth and not abandoning the relationship with God. The end result was that all of the earth had their thoughts of doing evil continually, except Noah, who in Genesis 6:9 was said to be perfect in his generations, and a man who walked with God. This was not about race, as some have thought, but about the theme that runs throughout the Bible, as being unequally yoked with unbelievers, about not marrying someone of another way of thinking that is contrary to God. The word translated giant from Nephilim is used twice in the Bible, one time here and the other time when the children of Israel encountered the sons of Enoch and said that they were grasshoppers in their sight. The Hebrew Chaldee lexicon states that Nephilim does not mean large of body, but means bully or tyrant, and is incorrectly translated as giant. Goliath and Og, they were known at that we know were large in stature, and are not referred to as Nephilim, but Rapha, that is Strong's 74:97. Apparently, the sons of Enoch were fierce warriors and bullies, and also large in stature because they are referred to as Rapha in Deuteronomy 2:11. As known bullies and terrors, and larger than the average human, the scouts were afraid to encounter them. There is a passage where Jesus was talking to the Sadducees, who, by the way, did not believe there was a resurrection of the dead, but they asked Jesus a question about the resurrection. If you turn to Luke 20, verses 27 through 36. Then some of the Sadducees, who denied that there is a resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote that if a man's brother dies, having a wife, and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children, and then the second took a wife, took her as wife as well, and died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. last of all the women died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven has had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die any more. For they are equal to the angels and the sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but for the living. For all live to him. Jesus was plainly telling him that there is a resurrection, or God would not be called the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If they would not live again in the resurrection, he was also pointing out that angels and those resurrected to immortality are not going to be getting married, that this was only for the age of man. The notion that mighty giants were born due to intercourse with beautiful women is a false representation of these verses. It seems more likely that the descendants of Seth, sons of God, saw the women from the line of Cain, daughters of men, which has been kept separate from them when God sent Cain away, and they began to take wives from them, as explained in Halley's Bible Handbook. The line of Cain were bullies who only cared about the evil they could do. They had chosen their own way apart from God, and no one was safe on earth any longer. Instead of finding wives in the righteous line, descendants of Seth were drawn away on how beautiful these women were, who had no knowledge of the true God. As we have seen, according to Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, Nephilim, that was translated as giants, does not mean giant in stature, but bullies and tyrants, who demanded to be worshipped as more than mere men. As flesh become corrupted, with only righteous Noah retaining the legacy of Seth, not marrying the beautiful daughters of Cain, and retaining a right relationship with God, any civilization that rejects the sovereignty of God is doomed to deteriorate into bullies and the bullied. We are rapidly heading in that direction once again. And a lot of our giants today are play actors and politicians. We see this attitude of superiority and demanding you bow to their absolute authority in matters they know nothing about. The more we reject God as our protector and guide, the more we become like those in the days of Noah, placing men on a pedestal and seeing them as more capable than they really are. A recent quote from a congressman was, God's will is of no concern in this Congress. That pretty much says it all in the state of the governing bodies today. Moses told the children of Israel to choose leaders who are wise, understanding, and knowledgeable. Our people have not carefully chosen who will lead them, and we are seeing the results of many years of choices based on personality and empty promises rather than on wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Only with the acknowledgement that peace and prosperity must come from above can leaders truly lead and a society survive. It would seem we are once again heading towards a society that is like the one before the flood.